live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. This is the main evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, Leo Varadkar and Micheál Martin have signed off on a framework document for going into government together. We'll have a full report. 10 more people die as a result of COVID-19 in Northern Ireland. It brings the total death toll there from the virus to 134. Meanwhile, an Inishowen GP questions figures which suggest that the rate of COVID-19 infection in Donegal is 3 times that of neighbouring council areas across the border. A senior consultant says there is no shortage of PPE at Letterkenny University Hospital, and the health minister meets with Nursing Home Ireland to discuss the COVID-19 crisis. And later in the bulletin, we'll have the sports news with Oisin. That's coming up at around about 5:15. Leo Varadkar and Micheál Martin have signed off on what is a framework for going into government together. The Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil leaders approved the historic document which was put together by their negotiating teams. With the details, here's political correspondent Sean Defoe.
The leaders of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have broken new ground by formally agreeing to try to form a government together. Leo Varadkar and Micheál Martin met this afternoon to approve a framework document put together by the negotiating teams for both parties. It includes broad brushstrokes of what they want to do in government together when it comes to housing, the healthcare system and childcare, among other things, while the response to the COVID-19 pandemic will play a big part in any deal. But despite the two leaders agreeing, this is far from done. The document has to go to both parliamentary parties for their approval. It will then be circulated to the Greens, Social Democrats, Labour and Independent TDs if they try to convince them to become part of the next government. At the moment, all other comers say they're not interested, but both Varadkar and Martin have said they will need a third party involved to provide a stable government that can deal with all the coming challenges. A big step made today, but a long road ahead.
10 more people have died in Northern Ireland as a result of COVID-19. 134 have now lost their lives from the virus north of the border. The number of people confirmed to be infected has grown to 1,967 after 85 new cases were confirmed today. And the Inishowen GP has questioned figures which suggest that the rate of COVID-19 infection in Donegal is 3 times that of neighbouring council areas across the border. A cross-border COVID-19 dashboard maintained by Donegal County Council shows there are over 141 confirmed cases per 100,000 people in Donegal, compared to a rate of just over 51 cases per 100,000 in Derry and Strabane and 45 cases per 100,000 in Fermanagh and Omagh. However, Moville GP Dr. Ronan Cassidy, who lives in Derry, says there is much more testing in the community in Donegal, and that's why it appears there are more cases.
The biggest issue is that in Donegal, if you have the symptoms of COVID, you can be tested by your GP or you can be tested by the hospital if you were so sick that you had to go to the hospital. So you've got large numbers that are being detected. And then when you compare it with what's happening in Northern Ireland, you only get tested if you're sick enough to attend hospital. Like the man listening in Donegal could be feeling bad that the interventions aren't working, but I would be the opposite. I would be very proud of the people in Donegal and their efforts, and I'd be a bit more alarmed with how Northern Ireland are faring.
What you believe then is this, that there is more community testing in Donegal, and that's why the figure in Donegal appears on the face of it to be higher, when actually what it reflects is that there is far more testing in the community in Donegal than there is north of the border.
Yes, 100%. There's very limited testing in the community in Northern Ireland. There's been some opening up for healthcare workers, but for if you ring your GP in Derry with symptoms suggestive of COVID, you'll not be tested unless you end up in hospital.
You believe the figures would be very different if a testing regime north of the border reflected what was happening in the Republic?
I believe that the rate of infection would be higher in Northern Ireland. The issue with Donegal testing is the speed of getting tested and then the speed of the result. You may not get it done promptly, but that's improving. But the key thing is that if you have symptoms, you self-isolate for 14 days.
And that was in his own GP, Dr. Roland Cassidy. A senior consultant says there is no shortage of PPE at Letterkenny University Hospital and staff are being given the resources they need to operate as safely as possible. On today's 9 till noon show, Peter O'Rourke told Greg Hughes that in some cases, people seem to be looking for what they see on TV. And that, he says, is not necessary.
Staff at every level are given the appropriate amount of PPE. Nobody is being sold short here, but there are some people who will not be satisfied until you put them in a hazmat suit. So regardless of whether they're doing something at the higher end of the scale of complexity or the lower end, some people do not be happy. You even get people on the ward who have purchased their own masks. So you get somebody who's walking around with an FFP2 or FFP3 mask that they've got themselves, and then you have a situation where people on the ward, why is that person wearing that mask, which is a much higher spec to the one I'm wearing, but you don't even know if that person has one mask that they're reusing on a daily basis and potentially contaminating, or they've got a box of them and they're throwing them away at the end of the day. Everything is visual.
How are we at in terms of ICU numbers, COVID-19 numbers locally? Do we have enough? Are we still transferring people to Galway?
As far as I know, things are pretty reasonably good today. People think it's strange they're transferring to Galway. Galway have the potential, I think, for about 35 or so. We have the potential for up to 14 or 50, well, 14 or slightly more than that. But you don't want to go anywhere near your capacity. So if you're functioning at 25% of your capacity, it is much easier than functioning at 90% of your capacity. And at times, patients have been moved out for logistical reasons. Everybody needs to think that to understand that we're doing the best we can. We are not putting anybody at risk. And regardless of the fact that you'll hear things to the contrary, the people who are actually involved in making sure people are protected are doing a good job, and the resources are there.
And that was consultant Peter O'Rourke on today's 9 till noon show. Garda investigations are continuing after a car was rammed near the Tyrone border yesterday. It followed an operation which began on the beach in Downings at 2 yesterday afternoon. Garda had tried to stop a red Audi that was driving dangerously. The driver got away, and a short time later the car was seen outside Letterkenny. It was then followed through Raphoe toward Castlefin and Dunnyloop. Sergeant Eunan Walsh has been outlining the sequence of events.
Yesterday at approximately 2 p.m. Garda in Milford were alerted to a car acting suspiciously and driving dangerously in the Downings area. The Garda in Milford carried a patrol and located the car on the beach in Downings. The driver, a male, jumped in and drove the car off, getting involved in a dangerous manoeuvre, almost colliding with one of the Garda, and it took off at speed. The Garda throughout the county were alerted to the car, a red Audi, partial reg GHZ. Observed by Garda at 2:50 p.m, 50 minutes later, on the dual carriageway. Failed to stop for the Garda in the dual carriageway. Continued at high speeds towards Castlefin, gone through the back roads there towards Raphoe, gone through Raphoe into the Schooley, and at Dunnyloop, the Garda Stinger was deployed, and at least one of the tyres was punctured on the car. But the car continued on and actually rammed one of the Garda patrol cars from Raphoe in a bid to evade being stopped. Kept going and across the border towards Clody, and it came to a stop, and the occupants abandoned the car, and the PSNI had been alerted and they located the vehicle. So we're looking for the public's assistance in the matter. An incident which occurred started at 2 p.m. in Downings and finished up after 3 p.m. with a car which had been stung by Garda being abandoned by four occupants. So we're looking for the public's assistance in the matter. Anybody call Letterkenny Garda Station 074916700 or the confidential lane 1-800-666-111.
No injuries to report, but the situation could have been very different.
It could have escalated to something more serious, Donald. Yes, some damage to the patrol car, but unfortunately none of our colleagues received any injuries in the matter.
And that was Sergeant Eunan Walsh. The Health Minister is meeting with Nursing Homes Ireland as the sector battles to contain the COVID-19 crisis. 167 deaths so far have come from nursing home environments in the Republic. With more, here's Andrew Louth.
Last night, the state's chief medical officer reported that 45% of deaths from COVID-19 in Ireland came from nursing home settings. It has led to increased concerns in the sector, which was asked not to impose visitor restrictions early on. Nursing Homes Ireland CEO Tyke Daly says they were right to do so.
Nursing Homes Ireland issued guidance to our own members in respect of visitor restrictions on the 6th of March. So the sector was well capable of dealing with it, but we do need the right support from government and the HSE to be able to stem the tide.
Meanwhile, 149 clusters of COVID-19 have been identified in nursing homes, with testing and the availability of PPE continuing to be a major problem. Dr. Colm Henry from the HSE hopes the clearing of the backlog will help speed things up.
I hope that whatever difficulties the nursing home system has been facing, we'll be able to meet those head on and test any staff or patients with suspicious symptoms.
However, Tadhg Daly says nursing homes need to be made an urgent priority.
It's never too late, but we would have concerns around the lack of prioritisation of the nursing home sector very early on, despite our engagement and despite the actions that we took as an organisation.
Tadhg Daly ending that report there from Andrew Louth. A Donegal TD says the Minister for Agriculture still hasn't moved on bringing glass balancing payments forward immediately, and it's unacceptable that there hasn't been any support to help farmers deal with income pressures resulting from the COVID-19 restrictions. Deputy Charlie McConnellogue, Fianna Fáil's agriculture spokesperson, says Minister Michael Creed must act to bring some respite to farmers as a matter of urgency.
Every sector is in dire need of support at the moment due to the restrictions impacting on businesses right across the board and on income, and that's particularly so as well in the farming community at the moment. But unfortunately, it's the one sector which the government has so far not stepped up to the mark to provide any support to. One of the immediate measures they could take is actually bring forward the balancing payments in relation to the 2019 glass payments. It would help 40,000 farmers across the country with cash flow at a time whenever money and income is very, very scarce. That needs to happen, of course, alongside other measures at European level to address the prices that have dropped significantly. But as an immediate step, this is something that the government could do right now.
Has Minister Creed given any indication as to why he hasn't moved on this? Because it would seem to be quite straightforward and quite obvious a move to engage in immediately.
There has been no indication, no, as to why this hasn't happened. I hope that it will. I'm keeping the pressure on for it to happen. I think it's well within the government's capacity to actually deliver it and deliver it quickly. So I hope that movement now will come, but it's unacceptable that we haven't seen this happen before now, or indeed wider support as well from both the Minister and the European Commissioner, which really has a real European Commission, which also has not come forward with any of the measures which are needed as of now to actually try and address some of the issues and price pressures across various sectors in the farming community.
Deputy Charlie McConnellogue. Well, farmers who have lost their incomes are entitled to the COVID-19 unemployment payment. The IFA says the Department of Social Protection has confirmed that farmers can avail of the payment. The IFA's president is Tim Cullinan.
Farmers that's not able to sell stock or sell grain or whatever, that they should be entitled to this payment as well. So we've got clarification today that those farmers, full-time farmers, that have no income because they cannot sell either produce or stock, are entitled to that payment. And also part-time farmers that have lost their jobs are entitled to the payment as well. So I think this is a welcome development.
Well, more than 500,000 people received the COVID-19 pandemic unemployment payment today. Over 50,000 of those received it for the first time. With more detail, here's Eamon Torsney.
Payments were issued today to 533,000 people for the COVID-19 pandemic unemployment payment. The Department of Social Protection say around 54,000 are receiving a payment for the first time. In addition, there are 210,000 people on the live register, and over 42,000 employers have registered for the temporary wage subsidy scheme. Social Protection Minister Regina Doherty says that with just over 50,000 additional payments approved in the last week, it would suggest that we are perhaps reaching a plateau in terms of those on the COVID payment. To date, over 40,000 people have contacted the department to close their payment. The majority of these requests are because employers are taking people back onto their payroll. However, around 68,000 payments have been withheld for a variety of reasons.
The time on Highland Radio, 5:15. Time for sports news. We say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Donald. We start with news of soccer, and former Republic of Ireland captain John O'Shea is among a batch of 20 coaches accepted onto the FAI's latest UEFA Pro Licence course. O'Shea was named last week as the assistant new Ireland under 21 manager Jim Crawford. Dundalk's Rory Higgins, who's now part of the Ireland senior setup under Stephen Kenny, has also enrolled. Another former international, Andy Keogh, was on the list, as well as former Chelsea goalkeeper Carlo Cudicini. Partick Thistle have questioned the validity of the vote to end the season in divisions below the Scottish Premiership early due to the coronavirus pandemic. The second-tier club, who could be relegated under the plans, have taken legal advice. The SPFL proposal to end the Championship League 1 and 2 campaigns rests on the vote of Dundee. They submitted their decision on Friday, but then asked for it not to be considered. Wales manager Ryan Giggs says they could end up playing three Nations League games in a week in September. Wales are in the same group as the Republic of Ireland, with the two sides originally scheduled to meet in Dublin in October and again in November in Cardiff. Fixture dates are set to change with the Euro 2020 playoffs postponed, while leagues around Europe need to find dates to see out the season, which is on hold due to the pandemic. While many clubs may see international football as a distraction, Giggs says he can't afford to worry about that.
Of course, the Premier League, you know, are so strong. They want to finish the Premier League. You know, there's still games in Europe that need to be finished. But obviously for me, as an international manager, my priority is getting ready for them Euros, you know, next summer.
In rugby, Leinster say they're preparing to return to training in mid-May. However, just like the other provinces, they are waiting on government instructions before they do so. Leinster say they will be willing to play behind closed doors once sport can resume. Luke O'Neill is Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin, and he's told Off the Ball a June or July return does seem possible.
Once we see less cases, less ICU people in ICU, you know, once the viral level in our society begins to drop, then we're going to see changes. And it might be, you know, we're talking about sort of June, July, really. That's not that, outlandish in a sense, you know. So we are certainly beginning to look towards June, July as a slight loosening. And then sport has to be a key part of it, as you know, because as we all know, sport is essential for our mental health and our physical health.
The GAA may be facing a decision whether to host matches behind closed doors in the wake of yesterday's latest government briefing around the pandemic. Minister for Health Simon Harris said that social distancing is going to remain a very big part of life until a vaccine or an effective treatment is found for the virus. A special Congress will be held via conference call this Friday to allow the GAA's management committee make decisions regarding the structure of the championships. It's been suggested that the All-Ireland football final could be played in November, with the hurling decider in the last week of October. Provincial councils will of course be fighting their case to stage their respective championships. While it's been mooted, the club championships around the country could start before inter-county football in either June or July. The Tour de France is set to be postponed, possibly until later in the summer. French President Emmanuel Macron yesterday announced a ban on mass gatherings until at least mid-July. The tour was due to get underway on July 27th. Last week, local authorities of towns where stages finish were consulted about a possible staging of the race in August. And staying with other sports news from France, June's French Grand Prix is expected to be the latest F1 postponement at the start of the Formula One season. Nine races have already been called off because of the pandemic. And that's it from the sports desk for today. We'll be back with more tomorrow morning. Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Oisin. COVID-19 restrictions can only be lifted if the right public health measures are in place. The World Health Organization says six criteria must be considered by countries which are thinking of easing guidelines. It's updating its strategic advice, which includes ensuring system capacities are in place to treat patients and also to ensure that contacts can be traced. The World Health Organization's General Director General is Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus. He says restrictions can't be lifted ad hoc.
While COVID-19 accelerates very fast, it decelerates much more slowly. The way down is much slower than the way up. That means control measures must be lifted slowly and with control. It cannot happen all at once. Control measures can only be lifted if the right public health measures are in place.
It's emerged that coal was used to start two fires at masts in Letterkenny on Easter Sunday night. Gardaí say the fires on either end of Circular Road were started deliberately and their investigations are continuing. On today's 9 till noon show, Sergeant Eunan Walsh asked anyone who saw anything suspicious in the areas of Dr. McGinley Road or Long Lane to come forward.
Approximately 10 past 9 on Sunday evening past there, 2 days ago, the 12th of April, Gardaí were alerted to two fires at two separate masts, broadband masts in the Letterkenny area, one on the Long Lane and the other on Dr. McGinley Road. We've established now that both fires have been started deliberately. They were brought under control by the fire brigade. And again, so we're appealing for witnesses in the matter. Anybody who was in the area between 8:45 p.m. and 9:10 p.m. last Sunday night, or who witnessed anything that might assist us in our inquiries, to call us at Letterkenny Garda Station 074-916-7100 or the confidential line 1-800-666-111. Now, we do know that, Greg, that a substantial amount of coal was used in both fires to set fire to the cabinets, so some work obviously was involved in this, carrying coal maybe from a car, from a van, or from the roadside, etc. So this part of the job may have happened maybe hours beforehand, maybe day or days beforehand. So maybe people bear that in mind when they're thinking about things that happened in the area at the time.
Well, one theory is that the fires were prompted by speculation linking 5G to coronavirus, speculation which has been dismissed by health experts. AIR says in this instance, the damaged equipment has nothing to do with 5G and was geared toward improving broadband speeds in the area, including speeds at Letterkenny University Hospital. Assistant Secretary General at the Department of the Taoiseach, Liz Canavan, says such rumours have no basis in fact. She said this damage will only do harm to the community.
Vandalising mobile phone mast infrastructure will stop masts from carrying mobile call and data services at a time when people are relying on those critical services. Some people will be unable to contact emergency services and the Gardaí. It will also make it harder for people to make contact with their families, their friends and their work colleagues.
A man has been arrested on suspicion of the murder of a Dublin man in County Fermanagh. 18-year-old John Paul McDonough, who's originally from Finglas, died in hospital yesterday. He was stabbed with what's believed to have been a slash hook in a fight in Coolcullen Meadows, Enniskillen, on Saturday night. The PSNI has detained a 29-year-old man on suspicion of a number of offences, including murder, and he remains in custody. Police say they're growing increasingly concerned for a teenager who's been missing from Derry since last Friday. 17-year-old Daniel Roger was last seen in the city wearing a white t-shirt, grey top and tracksuit bottoms. He's described as being 5 feet 4 inches in height, of slim build, with brown hair and blue eyes. Anyone with information regarding Daniel's whereabouts is being asked to come forward. You can see a picture of Daniel on our website, highlandradio.com. A man's appeared in court in Sligo after €17,000 worth of drugs was seized by Gardaí at the weekend. The man was stopped at a COVID-19 checkpoint in Donegal town on Saturday night. Drugs were recovered at the scene. More were found in a follow-up search in Sligo. With more, here's Owen Murphy.
On Saturday last, Donegal Town Drugs Unit encountered a high-powered motorbike travelling at speed towards Donegal Town. Uniformed Gardaí, who were conducting a COVID-19 checkpoint at Tully Earl, assisted in stopping the vehicle. An estimated €6,000 worth of cannabis and €1,000 worth of amphetamines were seized at the scene. The man was arrested and questioned at Ballyshannon Garda Station. He appeared before a special sitting of Sligo District Court last night and was charged with offences relating to the sale and supply of drugs. Meanwhile, an estimated €10,000 worth of amphetamines was seized during a follow-up search at a property in Riverstown, County Sligo.
And applications are now open for a business continuity voucher worth up to €2,500. The applications are available through the local enterprise office for businesses employing up to 50 people. With more detail, here's Emma Rose Callan.
The new business continuity voucher available through local enterprise offices is designed for businesses across every sector that employ up to 50 people. The voucher is worth up to €2,500 in third-party consultancy costs and can be used by companies and sole traders to develop short-term and long-term strategies to respond to the COVID-19 pandemic. The goal is to help companies make informed decisions about what immediate measures and remedial actions should be taken to protect staff and sales. If an application is successful, a qualified expert will be selected by the local enterprise office to then work on business continuity plans. The value of this service is up to a maximum of €2,500. Application forms can be downloaded through the local enterprise office website, where a step-by-step guide can be followed. More information on business continuity voucher applications is available at localenterprise.ie.
Dry and mostly bright into this evening. in a light to moderate southerly or variable breeze. It'll stay dry, clear and calm tonight with mist and fog forming, becoming dense in places, but it will get colder with lowest temperatures of -1 to +3 degrees Celsius. Some frost possible, particularly in sheltered areas. Mist and fog will gradually clear tomorrow morning, leaving another dry day with plenty of sunshine in general. Cloudier though than today, particularly along the north coast. Warmer as well, with highest temperatures hitting 13 to 15 degrees Celsius. Staying cooler though in coastal areas. Main stories in brief this evening, and Leo Varadkar and Micheál Martin have signed off on what has been described as a historic framework for going into government together. The Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil leaders approved the document put together by their negotiating teams. However, they will still need a smaller party to go into government with them, they say. They're distributing the document now to the Greens, Labour and the Social Democrats. However, all three of them have said they are opposed to going into government. 10 more people have died in Northern Ireland as a result of COVID-19. 134 people have now lost their lives from the virus north of the border. And the Leashon GP is questioning figures which suggest the rate of COVID-19 infection in Donegal is three times that of neighbouring council areas across the border. Dr. Roland Cassidy says he believes it's because there's far more testing in the community in Donegal. Our next news is at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, the 14th of April. The death has taken place of Jackie Leach, 59A Owen Rea Drive, Strabane, formerly of Irish Street, Waterside, Derry. In accordance with guidelines, funeral will be private to family only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Parkview House Residents Comfort Fund, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. The death has occurred of Bridie Doherty, Mulla Duff, Kincashla. Due to HSE and government guidelines, funeral arrangements are strictly private to family only. Burial on Thursday in Belcridge Cemetery with a memorial mass to be held at a later date. The death has occurred of Susan Noon, Clunche, Clonmany. Due to current HSE and government guidelines, funeral and burial are strictly private to family only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers to Nazareth House, Fawn, care of any family member or Comiskey Funeral Directors. Memorial Mass will take place at a later date. The death has taken place of Tommy Ward, Ballybow, Convoy. Wake and funeral are private in accordance with government and HSE guidelines. A Memorial Mass will take place at a later date. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to St Vincent de Paul Convoy Branch, care of Gibson Funeral Directors. And the death has taken place of Geraldine Watkins, Neo Doherty, 37 Woodend Road, Strabane, formerly of Dungannon. In compliance with current government guidelines, the house and funeral are private. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Marie Curie, care of Quigley Funeral Directors.